We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE. And I'd like to say thank you today to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Right now, if you need block or concrete work done, you've probably noticed over the past few weeks that it's been a little bit wet. Well, that makes pouring concrete a little bit challenging. And so I've been telling you this now for a while. There's quite a bit of construction going on in Brevard County. And so if you're needing block or concrete work done in the near future, I highly advise that you start making phone calls. You don't wait until the last minute and then hope that you're going to get somebody out there just super quick. You want to plan. You want to strategize to make sure everything is in place. So if you need block or concrete work done, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. That will be a blessing to you in your life. And I'm so thankful that for the believer, persecution is not forever, that problems are not forever. That's what we're talking about right now. It's hard to believe we're already in the month of June. This last weekend, there was a family in our church that had a wedding in the family, and so had a wedding in May, another wedding here in June. And so it's a very, very exciting time for everything that is going on. So today we want to continue in our study on how do we successfully get through persecution. You say you probably don't have too many, you know, radio programs where you start going through the Beatitudes and then you stop that to give people the strategies that are implanted in the Word of God to help them successfully get through that. So we're not going to be in persecution forever. We're not going to be studying this forever, but I do want to give you the helpful information that when it comes into your life, not if it comes into your life, that you will be able to successfully deal with it. Before my wife was my wife, she was just my girlfriend. We were out on a date one Friday night, and you need to understand what dates were like for people who were youth pastors back in the 1980s, and you were making $84 a week. I actually had more bills due to student loans and things like that coming out of Bible college. I had more bills than I had income coming in. So you start trying to throw a date in on that, and it gets to be a little challenging. And so whenever we would go out on a date, we'd oftentimes go to a fast food restaurant, and we would buy one hamburger, one fry, and one drink. And, you know, if we got a dessert to go with it, we got two forks to go with it. I was a high roller. I mean, that's all I can say. And one night, we were waiting to get into this one particular restaurant, and I don't even remember for sure which one it was, why there was such a line to get into it. But as we were there, there was a homeless person that was there, and they were asking for money. And I said, I won't give you any money, but I will buy you food. By the way, if you're a panhandler, you come to Merritt Assembly of God, we don't give out money. We just don't. That's the way that God has led us. And so We are very interested in helping people in need, but it is people that we have a relationship with that we know. And so there is a way that we can determine whether or not this is something that we can do or whether or not it's not. You know, the Bible says the poor are always with you. You can help them anytime you want. And so it's not that we don't help people. We do. But many times, like on my birthday, which was Mother's Day, there was a person walking down the street. And I came to a stop sign and he said, "Can you give me some money?" And I said, "I can buy you something to eat." And so it took me about a half hour before I got home, but I took him to a restaurant. I bought him food, but I didn't give him any money. And so this guy at this fast food restaurant, just in case you're wondering how we're tying this into persecution, he's a homeless guy. And I said, "Well, we'll buy you something to eat." And we got in there and we bought him something. And while we were waiting in line before we had even placed our order, we were talking to him about the Lord. And he said, "You're not one of those Jesus freaks, are you?" And I was like, "Well, yes, I am." Now, I've never found it really to be a good strategy to insult the people who are getting ready to buy you food and stuff like that, but this guy felt no qualms about it. And it didn't stop me from buying his meal for him. You know, not everybody is going to receive the message. I saw a video recently where a person was just literally minding their own business, but some people recognized who he was and they didn't like what he had to say. And so they began to persecute him. They began to rally around. I mean, it was almost like the Book of Acts all over again. This person ended up getting arrested. He ended up getting released, or he got taken down to the police station. He was actually released without any problems. But there are people who do not want to hear the truth of God's word. And if we are living and proclaiming the truth of God's word, that's going to produce a point of conflict. So we're trying to teach you these principles. And today we're going to be in Psalm 119 verses 81. Let me see how far we're going to read. 81 through 88 is where we're going to start with today. So let me begin reading. "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, 'When will you comfort me?' For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me?" Okay, wait, did you get that? "When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth." So here, persecution is mentioned on two different occasions. In verse number 84, "When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me?" That is reminding God that it is in his hands. He's going to be the one that has to resolve this issue. And in verse number 86, it says, "They persecute me wrongfully." Okay. Now, what might surprise you is the actual focus of this verse is not on the persecution, but the solution to the persecution. It's the reason that the persecution came about in the first place. It is the importance of how you endure the persecution, and it tells you the purpose of your life after the persecution. So let me just take you to verse number 81, and we will talk about the strategies that God has. These are very important. These aren't suggestions. These are things that have actually worked. You know, you can delve into the realm of theory all you want, or you can try the same tried and true strategies that have helped saints endure persecution for thousands of years. I recommend that. Doesn't mean God can't provide you a creative solution, but I tell you, this one here is foundational. You've got to get this one. Okay? My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word. And so the thing that is so essential to getting through persecution is something that modern Christianity really doesn't like. A good portion of modern Christianity doesn't like to focus on very much, and that is the word of God. Here, the psalmist is writing in Psalm 119, and he is saying that when persecution comes, his confidence is in the Lord and in the word of the Lord. That's what he means by hope. Hope is not wishful thinking biblically. It is a confident expectation that what is written is going to come to pass. The word of God is settled forever. It's an eternal word. It's a living word. It's a healing word. It's a corrective word. It's a sustaining word. There is so much to the word of God, and yet in America, it's not as appealing as binge watching. It's not as appealing as mind-numbingly sitting in front of a television. I got to thinking about this here not too long ago, and it's like, you know, I remember a time when people would actually sit out on a front porch and they would actually dialogue. They would actually have conversation. Now, you know, with summer storms and things like that, it might not be conducive to sit outside all the time, but it wasn't so much the location that I was fixated on as the process where we actually have communication. The word of God is God's gift to us. And we need to study it. We need to learn it. In verse number 82, the psalmist writes that his eyes fail from searching your word. Do you realize that back then they didn't have electronic search engines? They didn't have Bible programs. The only way that they had to do it was to search many times their memory banks. There weren't a lot of written copies of the word of God floating around. Now, for the psalmist, he was probably either in the temple or in the palace someplace. He probably had access to the word, and so he would spend a great deal of time searching the word, looking for the wisdom that was necessary. And he said, I'm not stopping until I get an answer. The Bible is a tremendous source of wisdom. You and I would benefit ourselves greatly if we would say, you know what, I am going to take advantage of this gift that God has given to me, and I'm going to put it to good use. I'm going to study it because I'm going through persecution, and I know that God has a word from the throne that's going to get me through this. In verse number 83, it says, for I have become like wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. So it's very important not only to study the word of God, but once something has been revealed to you, be intentional about remembering it. Do not forget the word that has come. God's not a God who changes his mind over and over and over again. He is a God who is faithful. He is faithful to his word. His word is settled forever. Okay? And so don't forget the statutes of God. The statutes are, that kind of goes into a realm of legality. These are things that say, you know what, these are the things that are permitted, and these are the things that are not permitted. Now, as we get later on into this passage, you are going to find that particular concept becomes very, very important. Statutes do one of two things. They either permit something or they do not permit something. They're either empowering or they're restraining. That's what they do. They tell you what you can do or they tell you what you can't do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That would be a statute that would permit something. It tells you what you should do. And then it says, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not bear false witness. Those are precepts that are statutes that would prohibit something from being done. So you've got to remember what God has to say. In verse number 83, it says, the proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. So verse number 3 tells about what the strategies, the plans that the hostile ones have taken already. And the psalmist says, God, I know this. Their actions do not line up with your law. In verse number 86, it says, they persecute me wrongfully. Sometimes you need to know how do I want to rephrase this? Sometimes you need to know when the devil has crossed the line. When Saul was arrested in the book of Acts, and I might not be able to find the particular chapter right now. When he was arrested going into the temple in the book of Acts, he was arrested in chapter 21. And in chapter 22, he's given permission to address the crowd. And he does that. And then the crowd gets all riled up and everything. And the centurion who had him arrested, Paul spoke Greek to him. He spoke Hebrew to the people that he was ministering to there in the temple. And when the Jewish people got all riled up, they had him arrested. And the centurion commanded him to be beaten. Verse number 24 of Acts chapter 22. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, listen to this, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who was a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, he being Paul, said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. But I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid that after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. All of a sudden, the commander that was in charge of things there found out that he was doing some things that were illegal. The same thing happened in Philippi. And Paul, at that point in time, say, I want to remind you what my rights are as a Roman citizen. Now, I will tell you this, that if Paul had rights as a Roman citizen that a centurion and city officials in Philippi trembled when they found out they had violated the rights of a Roman citizen, how much more do you think that the rights of the citizens of heaven have to do, and demons ought to be trembling whenever they violate the rights of God's kids? The psalmist said, look, I have studied your word. I have made it my hope. I have searched your word out, and I refuse to forget them no matter how intense the persecution. And what I realize is that what they are doing is not right in your sight. Verse number 86 has a fourth step, and that is this: all your commandments are faithful. God, I know this, that the word that you have instructed, that it is going to endure forever. It is faithful because you are faithful. It's not going to fail no matter how many wrong things are done. Your commandments are not going to fail. Now, I will tell you this. So I'm going to adjust my microphone here to make sure that I get this said with the right attitude. It is important for us to know our rights. It is also important that we know our responsibilities. There are many people who are out there claiming their rights while shirking their responsibilities. And that's not right. There are many people out there who are fulfilling their responsibilities and they don't realize their rights. I would put the oldest son in Luke chapter 15, where the passage we normally identify as the prodigal son, I would put him in that category, where he was a person who was serving, but he wasn't enjoying it. He viewed his father as a taskmaster, as a slave driver, if you will, and he wasn't enjoying life, and therefore when the celebration was taking place, he refused to go in, and the father had to go out and explain to him that where the youngest son, the one who had left, he was interested in his rights but wanted to abandon his responsibilities. The oldest son was fulfilling the responsibilities but ignoring his rights. And so I want to let you know, don't just focus on your rights. Also focus on your responsibilities. I know there's not many amens that'll come as a result of that, but it's true nonetheless. And so my job here is to share with you the truth of God's word, and what you do with it is up to you. Okay? So let's go back to our passage again. They persecute me wrongfully. Verse number 86 ends this way. Help me. And my Bible's got a great big old exclamation point right there. Help me. What they are doing is contrary to your word. God, I want you to come and honor your word and help me. Okay? And God will certainly do that. Verse number 87 says this, they almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. They almost made an end of me on earth. Thank God for the almost. I almost went bankrupt, but I didn't. I almost had a failed marriage, but I didn't. I almost died from that sickness, but I didn't. I almost got into a car accident, but God delivered me and saved me. It's a great thing to have a testimony about the almost that the enemy almost succeeded in your life doing, but God intervened. Thank God that there is a God who helps us to have a great testimony of the almost. In fact, I am of the persuasion that when we get to heaven, we are going to have our eyes opened in revelation to see that God intervened on our behalf more times than we ever were aware of here on earth, that there was a lot more evil that the devil intended to do to us, but God intervened so that even though the devil wanted it to happen, it almost happened, but it didn't happen. So praise God for the almost. The last step I want to share with you today, Psalm 119, verse number 88. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. When you have been through a great deal of persecution, you get to the point where verse number 81, which we talked about, becomes a great deal of reality. My soul faints for your salvation. It comes there comes a time where it is taxing and draining on us physically, emotionally, financially. There's a sense of weariness and fatigue that comes in where the entire process is draining on you. A couple of weeks ago when my wife had some medical procedure done, I knew it was going to be taxing on her. What I didn't realize was how physically taxing it would also be on me. It was like, oh, I'm tired. you might not think that you ever get that way, but when we got home from the hospital, neither one of us cared that it was 7 o'clock when we went to bed that night. It's like, we're tired, we're going to bed. The phone rang later that night. We never heard it. It was still early in the night, and we was like, we are going to take care of this. I tell you about that fatigue because God's got a solution for that, and that is He wants to come and revive. He wants to come and revive. Revive me according to your loving kindness. It's because God revives us because He loves us. He revives us because He's good to us. He revives us because He realizes that there's still purpose and responsibility that He wants to fulfill in us. And that is verse number 88, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. The psalmist said, God, I want to thank you. I cried out to you for help. I cried out to you because I studied your word. I found out what was right, what was permissible, what was wrong, what was not permissible. I realized that the people who were persecuting me were operating not in accordance with your will, but contrary to your will. And so, God, I asked you for help. I asked you to come and revive me according to your loving kindness, and you did. And now I have a purpose. And that is to keep the testimony of your mouth. You see, I don't know about you. I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but no matter how long you've walked with Him, you've already experienced more of the goodness and the greatness of God than you can turn your back on. If you've ever had your sins forgiven, don't ever forget to what great extent Jesus went just to make that forgiveness a manifest reality in your life. If you've ever been blessed financially, don't forget about it. Put a reminder up there and say, man, I remember when God did this for me. If you've ever been healed, put a reminder up there of what God has done for you. And if you've ever had a relationship restored, remind yourself about it, because God wants you to keep His testimony. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without it. Me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an